This is KTOO's Juno Afternoon, and it's about 20 minutes till the top of the hour. I'm today's host, Scott Burton. Our next guest is speaking tonight as part of UAS's Evening at Evening Lecture Series. Author and obituary writer, among other things, Heather Lendy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Scott, for having me. Beautiful day.
Yeah, is it beautiful up there in Haines, too?
I assume it's beautiful in Juneau, too.
Yes, yeah, it is.
Yeah, the good news is that by 7 o'clock, the sun will have set a little and the bugs will be out. So.
Right. And so Evening at Egan, of course, is virtual this year. And to sign up, listeners, is really easy. I just use my search engine to go for Evening at Egan 2020. And I clicked a button to sign up and entered my name and email, and it sent me an invitation to the Zoom meeting. It just takes moments. I'll also put a link on today's web post for Juno Afternoon, and that starts at 7 p.m. Heather, let's see. The title of your talk tonight is Find the Good. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the title of a book I wrote in 2015 that's going to be the Alaska Reads book this fall and winter. So this is kind of the kickoff for that program where libraries and groups around the state read it and discuss it and that sort of thing.
Fun. And the sort of subtitle is Unexpected Life Lessons from a Small Town Writer, right?
Yeah. Obituary writer, which is kind of weird for finding the good, but it's these are just some of the things that I learned while writing obituaries for the Chilkat Valley News for the last 20 years or so.
Okay. Often when I have artists on the show, I love to just get right to what you do. Would you mind sharing one of your obituaries with us?
No, I'd be happy to. I usually don't. And the book isn't so much, you know, the obituaries as it is what I've learned from writing them, and both about people and about life. The obituary format itself is the Chilkat Valley News's, and I think it's pretty unique to the paper, and I just want to make sure we credit the former publishers and current publishers, you know, from Bonnie Hedrick and Tom Morford to Kyle Clayton, because they're the ones that have this format, which is sort of a hybrid of what you might see in another paper, because we write it, it's AP style. It's really a profile of the person, but it's also a kind of has some of the standard obituary stuff. But this one, I thought I'd read. It's the most recent one I've written. And so it was just on my desk here, but it's also someone who has family in Juneau. So that might be nice. It's Daphne Ormerod is her name. And here we go, I guess. Daphne Ormerod died peacefully at the home she shared with her daughter, Blythe Carter, on Monday, July 13th. She was 79 years old and had Parkinson's disease. Carter is grateful that her mother was able to live out her days at home, surrounded by their garden, animals, and the mountain she loved. Mom would say, "If you want to do something, do it," Carter says, and was proud of the life she created for her family in Haines. Carter says she and her mother were best friends and that her mother will be remembered for her perseverance, love for her children, good humor, homemaking, literally, she built hers, and her ability to, quote, whoop anyone in Chinese checkers. Carter left her job at the Haines Sheldon Museum 5 years ago to care for her mother and their small farm. Daphne Ormerod, she helped people spell her name properly with the riddle, "When I go fishing, I bring me pole or me rod." Was born in Mackay, Queensland, Australia on June 8, 1941 to William and Georgina Blanche Ormerod. Her father was an ambulance medic and driver. Her older brother Colin died in his 20s and three younger siblings, all of Australia, survivor. The family was poor and moved often. From a young age, Ormerod dreamed of Alaska. She'd play in the leaves and pretend they were snow, Carter said. She hated the heat. At 14, she left school to work. When she was 21, she married Garth Moore in New South Wales, Australia, and they spent about 8 years traveling the world, working as she went. She cooked in logging camps in New Zealand and cleaned hotels in Europe, Nepal, and Russia before returning to Australia with her daughter Wenda and son, where her daughter Wenda and son Grantley were born. The marriage ended and she flew to Seattle with two-year-old Grant. He's the Juneau resident. Her ex-husband was supposed to send Wenda when they were settled, but instead disappeared with the child. They reunited years later. Ormerod worked where she could, joined the Tip Toppers Club for tall people, and hiked and climbed nearby mountains, including Mount Rainier. A friend of a friend offered Ormerod and her son a ride to Alaska, and she jumped at the opportunity. He dropped them off in tiny Tenakee Springs and flew away. She met Neil Carter in Rosie's Cafe, and they were married shortly after that. They had a daughter, Bly. They built a cabin, and she grew a garden and hunted deer to survive. 8 years later, Ormerod and her child left Neil Carter and Tenakee to start over. She enrolled in a four-year aviation mechanic program at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks, and when that was completed, they migrated back to warmer Seattle. She worked as a mechanic on small planes in Fairbanks and on medevac helicopters in Bellingham. After life threw them more curveballs, the family decided to try Alaska again and chose Haines, where Ormerod picked up a small plot of land for the payments and proceeded to build their home in stages. Practical is how Carter describes her mother's design sense and cooking. The house was shelter and meals were sustenance. We didn't have any money, but she managed to get the place built. If anything needed to be done, she just did it, Carter said, teaching her children life skills along the way. She raised meat rabbits, ducks, and chickens, and cultivated just about all of their property with vegetables, berries, and fruit trees. She loved her tomatoes and strawberries. She was very happy when we cleared below the house so she could see her mountains, Carter says. After reuniting with her oldest daughter, Ormerod traveled to Australia regularly, staying up to 6 months at a time. Her hobbies included photography, Sudoku, Chinese checkers, and reading how-to books. She made a lot of use of the library, Carter said. Ormerod was stubborn and frank. Mom always told it like it was. Sometimes it drove me crazy, but sometimes you need that, Carter said. When a friend or neighbor asked Ormerod how she was doing, she'd reply, "Do you want the truth or a lie?" And before they answered, she'd say, "Let me tell you a lie. I'm wonderful," Carter said. And then, you know, the usual survive buys and a donation for. But that's kind of a what happens in the Chilkat Valley News in Haines.
It seems, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure you've studied the form quite a bit, but it seems unique to me and very writerly. You know, I don't know that obituaries usually have so many quotes or so many details about one's life. Is that unique in the field?
I don't really know. I mean, I've written them a long time and I followed sort of the format of the newspaper, but then I've also, because I'm writing them and I want to do it better, I've read a lot of New York Times obituaries, and I try to model the ones that we do for regular people in the Chilkat Valley News like some of the ones that we read in the New York Times. And so they always usually include other sources and sometimes two or three sources if you can, and a little bit about their life or how what kind of person they are, and then the biographical stuff. And and the other thing with the Chilkat Valley News, which I appreciate and I think obituary writers appreciate, is that the newspaper policy is that we always have to say the way they died.
Got it.
So that's not, you know, people aren't trying to guess all the way through the obituary.
The title's Find the Good, Unexpected Life Lessons from a Small Town Writer. May I ask, were there any lessons gleaned from this woman's life, or what is an example of a life lesson that you
learned? Well, sure. I mean, I loved her relationship with her children. It made you know, when you read an obituary like that, which really isn't the writing or the obituary, it's the person. You say there's things that you admire, you know, that she did and traveled and did all that, and her stubbornness. And I love that her design sense and her cooking were both practical shelter and sustenance. When I think I probably spent an inordinate amount of time on making my shelter maybe not so practical and my meals more than sustenance. And so I just appreciate when I read that, I think maybe I should try to make things a little simpler around my life too. So, I mean, that would be an example of something that I would learn from her. And also it's not always just learn, but things that you admire when you read an obituary. I think it's nice when you're done to say, I wish I kind of knew them. It might be sort of fun to play Chinese checkers. And while I knew Daphne, of course, because I know everyone in Haines, I didn't know her well enough to be invited over to play Chinese checkers. So I, now when I'm done, I wished I had spent more time talking to her. And I think that's what you know you should leave with if you can. I mean, obituaries are about the person's life, not about their death or their ailing years or whatever that was. It's the story of the way they lived. And so that's why I find them kind of inspirational in some ways, or at least educational, and find the good is just a few things that I've learned over the years from writing them about myself and my community and life and how to raise a family and live in this world.
Got it. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with writer Heather Lindy about tonight's Evening at Egan lecture series at 7 p.m. tonight via Zoom. It's really easy to get an invitation or to sign up to watch this presentation. Heather, what should people expect tonight?
I think, you know, Zoom is a really different medium as we're all learning. And I don't think a standard like podium lecture works very well, or even a reading. So it's going to be kind of this is our first try at it too with the Egan lecture series. So I get to be the first one to see how it's going to work. But I've been doing a fair amount of them because I have a new book out called The Ballots and Bears. So I'm comfortable now with the Zoom thing. And so I think I'll probably read little parts of the book, maybe a paragraph, maybe talk about it, then go and talk a little bit. And it'll be relatively informal and personal. And there'll be time for questions and, you know, some generous time for people to ask questions and on what they're interested about, both about the book, about writing, about, you know, the kind of the audacity to say to find the good right now, in when, you know, there's so, it's so much easier to find the bad at the moment. So at first, when the book was even picked for the Alaska Reads, I was like, great, 2020, the title that will haunt me forever is Find the Good, when I know I'm struggling with it. We all are. I feel like we're holding on by our fingernails. But I also think, actually, it's really important now, more so than ever. You know, if you've got 23 hours in the day where you're just a screaming banshee, it might be nice to have at least an hour or even a half an hour a day where you try to find something good about what's going on in your life and the world, or do something good or anything to make something a little bit better. And I feel like, you know, that's kind of what I learned in writing obituaries. With each person, I start with, you know, what's the good here? What did someone love about them? What did they love? You know, why will they be missed? What were the characteristics? What were the habits? What were their actions or their words that made that, you know, that left something good? And I think it's in everybody, and it's just a matter of finding it.
I like that, you know, spending a half hour of the day to try and find the good. On that note, have you found any other successful strategies for these times? What's keeping you going and keeping you positive in these challenging times?
I'm not always. I don't know why. No, I shouldn't say that on the radio. I'm trying not to. You know, for me, and I think this is, you know, for me, what really, really helps is, you know, regular exercise. I cycle, and I the pool isn't open in Haines now, but, you know, if I can work out every day, that saves me. I find reading real books and staying off social media is a huge help, you know, because that's just like hit and run. And I'll look and I'll just go, by the time I peak sometimes, but I try to stay off. And I'm also trying to limit my news intake, because I find, for me anyway, just listening to the news, you know, and then if the news, my husband likes to tape it when he comes home and watch it, and that almost just sends me over the edge. So I've tried just to listen to NPR in the morning. I actually listen to K2. I like your regional news early in the morning. And then maybe let it go until the evening news comes on in Haines, but not keep hitting my phone for the news feed, you know? That's a few things.
Look out. One of us might call you for a testimonial during drive time.
I'm a member. I think I'm a member of K2. I have two daughters that live in Juneau, and three grandchildren.
Well,
I really wish I was there tonight. When I agreed to do this, I thought I would be down in Juneau and being able to see everybody, but we're not traveling back and forth to keep everybody safe and able to go about their jobs and preschools and daycare and such.
If you're just tuning in, that's Heather Lendy, writer Heather Lendy. She is presenting tonight, 7 p.m. via Zoom as part of UAS's Evening at Egan Lecture Series. Do you have a better way of giving instructions on how to get to that, or, you know, just how to sign up?
No, I think you just go to the Egan Lecture thing, and for those of you familiar with Zoom, you just click it, I think, is what happens. So you have to have the Zoom app, but that's not hard to do either. If I can do it, you could do it. you just download it if you don't have it, but probably most people do by now. And the other thing I do know from speaking with the organizers at UAS is that all of this and all of the Egan series are going to be recorded. So if people miss it and they want to know more, they can do that too. And I also know they're going to, it'll be an hour. It's not going to be as long as a usual evening, because there's no coffee and cookies and stuff afterwards.
Right. All right, Heather Lendy, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for coming on Juneau Afternoon. Again, her lecture or her talk discussion tonight is on Find the Good, based on her book, Find the Good, Unexpected Life Lessons from a Small Town Writer, Evening at Egan via Zoom. Heather, thank you so much. Anything else you'd like to add?
Only that, if people, once Alaska Reads gets going and they have any questions or anything, I'm really easy to find. You can find, I have a heatherlendy.com thing. If you Google my name, and I answer emails. And so I'm happy to do that. If anybody tonight doesn't get to answer, has a question that I'm not able to answer, or if, they need, just want to touch bases. And also, I'd want to encourage anybody, if they're buying any of my books, to buy them at local stores in Juneau, at the bookstores there, because that's important too right now.
Right. Yeah, I know Hearthside Books has a location in the Valley and downtown, and they can bring you a book to either location, whatever's most convenient to you. Heatherlendy.com, 7 p.m. tonight. Heather, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to seeing some folks tonight.
All right. Take care.